Our reading this morning is from Mark 3. Jesus appoints the 12. Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him.
Well, thank you, Andy, and thank you. I used to be a Baptist minister, but before I was a Baptist minister, I worked for a wholesale sweet company. What a great job to have, wasn't it? I used to drive around in a truck and deliver these sweets. It was surprising how many boxes somehow got damaged, you know, and you couldn't then give them to the shop. We'd have to eat them between us, and we did, and we got through a number of sweets that day. And I've liked licorice all sorts. Coconut circles are the best, aren't they? That's right, I think so. My wife would totally disagree. But thinking about all sorts, you know, and it did make me think about, oh, how we're all so very different, aren't we? And made me think about those 12 disciples that we read about that were the first followers of Jesus. We don't know exactly what they look like, but here's an idea. We know their names. We know how many they were, and we know some interesting things about them. We know, for example, that they were young. Well, they were probably not quite that young, but they were very young. They were probably kind of this young, kind of teenagers and late teens and early 20s, you know? In fact, Jesus once calls them children or lads. They were part of his family. Of course, Jesus himself was only around 30 at that time, which used to seem quite old when I was young, but now seems really young. And of course, he died in his early 30s before he rose again. Christianity began as a youth movement. Now, the church today has a bit of an image problem, doesn't it, sometimes? And that it's just kind of for old people, and it's just for women, and so on. But in fact, it's not. It's for everyone, whatever age, whatever background. Some of us are very big, some of us are tall, some of us have curly hair, some of us have no hair at all. I think I ought to change that line in that song. And lots of people actually began the adventure of following Jesus when they were quite young. I was in my teens, my late teens. Here's one example I read about. A minister from Scotland a few years back now, who the church wasn't going very well, and they were quite discouraged, and there weren't many new people coming, and yet one day a young lad came to the church. And this young lad said, do you think if I work really hard, I could become a preacher like you, or even a missionary? And this was the guy a few years ago now. This was when he was a little bit older. Had a more magnificent beard and so on. His name was Robert Moffat. He became a missionary to Africa. He was there for 45 years and had a huge impact in that part of the world. And he married, and he had a daughter called Mary, and Mary married someone called David Livingstone. And some of you will have heard that name as a famous explorer. But it all began when he was just a lad, when he was a youngster. They were young. Here's a second thing about them. They were ordinary. There weren't any kind of priests or scribes or Pharisees or part of the really, you know, religious experts of those days, vicars, if you like, and ministers. They had no special qualifications. They hadn't been to university. They didn't have a social standing or great wealth and so on. They were just 12 everyday guys. Several of them were fishermen. So imagine they were quite tough and hard-working, because it was a tough job to do, wasn't it? There's a verse later that calls them in the New Testament, unschooled, ordinary men. Now here's a bit of showing off, a bit of New Testament Greek for you. They were called agrammatoi idiotai. Now you can probably guess what that second word is in English. It doesn't mean they were silly, they weren't daft, but they were just ordinary, they weren't special in any way. I think of this man. Here's a wonderful man. His name is Christmas Evans. Isn't that a great name? He was born on Easter Sunday. No, he wasn't. He was born on Christmas Day. And so his mum and dad decided to call him Christmas. He was born in 1776 in rural Wales. He had no education. At 17, he couldn't read or write or anything like that. He was a bit of a tearaway. Do you notice something odd about him? His right eye's missing, isn't it? And he lost it in a fight. He was always getting into fights and scrapes and all that kind of thing. But at the age of 17, his life changed. It turned around. He decided to start the adventure of following Jesus. He became a Christian. He became known as the one-eyed preacher. And he also was once known as the greatest Baptist preacher ever. Just a very ordinary guy. You see, God loves to take ordinary people and use them in extraordinary ways. They were young. They were ordinary. But this is especially what we're thinking about today. They were a real mixed bag. They were varied. Some we don't know, as I say, much about. But we do know a little about some of them. We know about this one, for example, Simon Peter. He was a born leader. He was full of life and energy. He was a bit, you know, a real outgoing sort of character. Often speak first and think afterwards. You know, he would always put his foot in it. He would say the wrong thing. He was so full of life and energy and enthusiasm. That was Simon Peter. He had a brother who was very different. Andrew was actually quite shy and quiet. You know, he liked to be in the background more, and he was very happy to play second fiddle to his brother and so on, to live in his brother's shadow. So that was Peter, and then there was Andrew, and there was two other brothers, and they were called James and John. Now, they were very ambitious, and they were quite intolerant and aggressive sort of characters. They were given a nickname. I've never had a nickname. Anybody here ever had a nickname? What was your nickname, sir?
Benji.
Benji. And yours, sir?
Molotov.
Molotov. Were you always lobbing Molotov cocktails into things, was it? RC cadet. Ah, oh, well done, yeah. Well done. Hey, anybody else had a nickname? Did you have one, Mandy? Lifeboats. Now you can remember that.
Mandy Life.
Oh, I see. Oh, very good. Mandy Lifeboat. Anybody else have a nickname? What about you, sir? Speedy. Well done. Well, I never had a nickname, but these two had a nickname. A funny name, wasn't it? Boanerges. It means sons of thunder. They were very stormy characters, you know. Thunder, you didn't mess with them. You know, they were, I say, intolerant. They were a bit volatile, is the word, I suppose. In fact, a couple of bits later, there was a time when people were doing good things, but they weren't doing it in Jesus' name. They weren't doing it as part of their group, and they said, well, you need to stop them. They were intolerant like that. And then another time, they came to Jesus and said, you know, when you come into your kingdom, we'd really like to be in the most important places. We'd like to sit on your right and on your left. And so they were ambitious. They would have been on The Apprentice, you can imagine. They wanted the best place for themselves. And then there was Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. He was not very popular, as you can imagine, in those days. But actually, in those days, they were often a bit corrupt, and they would take some money for themselves and so on that they should have been passing on to the authorities. So they were not very kind of trustworthy. They were a little bit mean and so on. And then there's these two that I put together because they're so very different. You might recognize them. There was Bartholomew and Simon the Zealot. Now, Bartholomew was very conservative. He wanted things always to stay the same. Very traditional. Then there was Simon the Zealot, who was totally opposite. He wanted everything to change. He would have been at the front when there was a demo and so on. He was a kind of radical sort of guy. So one was very much on the, what we would say, the right wing of things, and the other one very much on the left wing of things. And then there was Thomas. Thomas was always very kind of skeptical, you know? He didn't like to take things at their face value. Even when, after the resurrection and Jesus was alive and all the others had seen him, he said, "I don't believe it," he said, "unless I see him for myself." And then, of course, there was Judas, who went completely off the rails. You don't have to be a certain kind of person. God loves you as you are. And God wants us as we are and can use us as we are. Whatever our background, however different we are, and however different they were, they did actually have one thing in common. A bit like the licorice, all sorts were all made of licorice. They were all imperfect. They all messed up. They all got it wrong. And Jesus would teach them something, and then he would have to teach them again because they would forget it, or they would get it wrong once more. And in the end, they all let him down. And Peter denied even knowing him. Peter, their leader, and so on. They all got it wrong. They were all imperfect. What a motley crew they were. And yet, did you notice in the reading, it said, Jesus, these are the ones he wanted. These were the ones he chose. The well-known ones, the unknown ones, the upfront ones, the hidden ones. Jesus handpicked them. One of my favourite days at school was Friday. Now, that's an obvious reason, because it's the weekend coming up, isn't it? But on Friday, about lunchtime, always the team sheets would go up for Saturday's football match or hockey match or cricket match in the summer and so on. And we would all gather around the notice board to see if our name was there, if we'd been picked. The 12 people we've talked about this morning were Jesus' first team. And just like a team, some of them were a bit like attackers, and some of them were defenders, and some of them were midfielders. They were a mixed bag. They were young. They were ordinary. They were imperfect. But Jesus handpicked each one of them. There's a verse in the Bible. It's quite a long one, so I'll read it out to you. It's about some Christians in a church in a place called Corinth. And it says, and this is in a modern translation, "Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called. I don't see many of the brightest and best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits? Chooses these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies." These were the ones he picked, the ones that he wanted to be his followers. And he chose them for two reasons. One, to be his friends, to be with him, to be his companions. And secondly, to be his representatives, to take his message of love to the world. At the moment, of course, Glastonbury's on, isn't it? And I've never been to Glastonbury, and I think I'm probably not likely to go. Well, our kids have been at different times. I was chatting to the chap next door yesterday. He remembers going to Glastonbury. He said, "I didn't bother to take a tent. I just took a bit of plastic." And it was one of those years when it rained and it was muddy and it was terrible and so on. I'm not a great lover of camping. But I have done some camping. A number of years ago now, I was at a boys' brigade camp. And the church I was minister, I've had a boys' brigade. And it was a special celebration. I don't know how many years it was, but they decided they would go camping on the Isles of Scilly. So we went over to on the Salonian to St. Mary's. We took a piano with us, a bit like Eileen's piano there on the Salonian, and the tractor came and picked us up and so on, and it was lovely. It rained every day, but it was still beautiful. And one night when I was in my tent, I'd got a tent of my own, some of the kids in the night crept up and they sprayed something on the ground in shaving foam in front of my tent. And what it said was this: "God's rep." I was the chaplain to that. And that, of course, is what we all can be: God's representatives in the world. And there is a place for each one of us. There's a place for Simon and Peter and James and all the others. And there's a place for you and me as well. Let's have a prayer together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're all different. You look at us and some of us are big, some are small and so on. And we say sorry sometimes. We wish we were like someone else. We thank you that you love us just as we are. And thank you that we can all find a place in your family and in your service. Well, we thank you for the story of the 12 disciples, and thank you for the many other disciples that have followed Jesus over the years. And we pray too that we will find our place too, as your friends and as those who want to serve you and represent you in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.